Our next speaker is Mr. Justin Brackenridge, and this will be the last presentation before the lunch break today. And he'll be speaking on... So your title's different, but that's where we're supposed to be. Okay. So there's differences in book value and measured manure phosphorus concentrations on West Virginia beef cattle operations.
Thank you for the introduction. As he said, I'm from West Virginia University. And so we did have a slight title change, but as most of us would know, in science, we can't always go where we think we're going to go, and we have to have a title 3 months ahead of time. Sometimes we end up in a different direction. This is some preliminary research from my master's, where I'm working on the feed management component of the comprehensive nutrient management plan. So why does West Virginia really care about phosphorus? West Virginia is located at the headwaters of the Mississippi River Basin as well as the Chesapeake Bay drainage area. And within that area, the EPA's National Water Quality Assessment determined that agricultural non-point source pollution is a leading contributor to the impairment of streams, wetlands, and lakes. And the largest contributor of those impairments is the lack of conservation planning within these agricultural lands. So West Virginia University is working with the West Virginia NRCS as a way to implement more conservation planning to reduce our part in this runoff. So in West Virginia, to have a comprehensive nutrient management plan to meet the 590 standard, it must be developed using Purdue University software manure management planner. It is a computerized system which integrates the erosion models, phosphorus indices, state-specific crop recommendations and removals, as well as farm-specific goals. What are you wishing to receive out of your soils? What is the goals that you want from your crops? Where do you want to sell your animals? At what period of the year do you want to do this? And another way to ensure this planning is reaching the ground is now it's mandatory for anyone wishing to receive financial assistance on a waste storage facility in our state to have this plan and to also follow and implement. So we have winters in West Virginia where we get snow, but what we don't have is a lot of long durations of frozen periods. We'll get snow, we'll get warm, and then we get mud. And so we don't like to see our cows in the mud, and we don't like to see these big holes that look terrible causing compaction and causing runoff issues and then causing actual damage to our herds. And so we begin developing waste storage facilities that are often coupled with a heavy-use protection area, which in this case is roofed. And so we have to have a plan to have this building, but we don't have a way to analyze the manure because we don't have a building to get a manure sample from. And so then we're forced to use book values from the Agricultural Waste Management Field Handbook. And these values give us a mass as well as a phosphorus concentration, which are derived from the type of animal you have, the number of animals you have, the physiological state of those animals, as well as their weights, but also incorporates the bedding that you would use estimation and the type of storage you've got. But so now we've built this building and we've taken our nutrients and we've put it in it. Can we apply it back to the land in a manner that is responsible and it's not going to lead to an increased amount of phosphorus runoff? And so that's when we get to our question. Does the book value of phosphorus concentration equal the measured amount of phosphorus? And so what we want to know is if we make this plan and we think, okay, this is 3 years, let's contain this manure and we'll give it to you at this is the amount of nutrients here. But then 3 years later we look and we were off by our estimate. Then what have we done? Have we increased our pollution? And then we say, oh, wait, thanks for playing, but now you can't apply this. So to start this, data collection began across the state where NRCS helped us isolate points of high concentrations of waste storage facilities of beef cattle. You can notice there's three pretty distinct geographical regions. To the far left, we have the Ohio River Valley. The most northern county would be considered in the Allegheny Plateau. And the eastern county by itself would be in the Potomac section. We'll get back to that a little later, but I wanted to make sure it was noticed here. And so another problem we had was there was a large variation in gaps between these farms, and it became really difficult to get to the farms and collect data in a matter of time that was really being effective. And so the university hired undergraduate interns to then be placed in NRCS offices where they were developing nutrient management plans, they were collecting data, and they were also helping me travel some. And they did research on 15 farms that already have their feed management, that already have a waste storage facility as a way to compare manures. So first, after we replaced, we began calculating these book values with the Agricultural Waste Management Field Handbook during their nutrient management plan development. Second was the manure measured concentration of phosphorus. Interns took composite samples. This was one sample that consisted of at least five smaller subsamples to accurately represent the amount of manure in the pile that we had, trying to give us as good of a concentration as we can. These samples were taken in various parts of the year, depending on the operation. Some had winter confinement, some had no confinement, some had year-round confinement, and so it just depended on the time when the manure was present. After that information was collected, we began to do some statistical analysis. Farms ranged from 20 to 100 cows, averaging on 43, and also 22 to 93 farmable hectares. We found that the book value, So our statistical analysis is shown in a box and whisker plot. We felt that was a good way to represent the range of our samples, and the x-axis shows the book value compared to the measured value, while the y-axis shows the kilograms of phosphorus per metric ton on a dry matter basis. The scale was used from 0 to 7, and you'll notice as we move through some of these other slides, it's not using the full plot area, but we wanted to visually represent what the range was within these 15 farms. So we then used a formula that we used from the measured phosphorus, and then we subtracted the book phosphorus divided by the book phosphorus to get our percent difference. We found that in these systems we had 146% difference in our book value and our actual measured value, and found that it was significant. And so that answered our question. Book valued and measured value are not the same. And so this gave us an opportunity to look at a secondary question. Is the percent difference an effect of the management type? And so for the scope of this, we look at management and operation as kind of interchangeable. We have complex operations and managements and simple operations and managements. And for an example, a simple operation could be one cow-calf herd that's doing a fall calving or a spring calving. There's going to be minimal confinement. There's going to be minimal inputs, where in a more complex management, we would see cropping systems being involved in this. We would see confinement. We would see bringing in of feeds as a way to enhance gains on cattle. And so how we got to this question is when we started developing our plans, we looked and we saw this huge, it's a very vast agronomic data set when it comes to soils. We plan a nutrient management plan for 3 years, but then every year some of these complex systems are going back in and taking other samples as a way to get a field nutrient status. However, when we looked at manures, it was very general. It was based on a book value that was taken from a national data set or one composite sample, and we were assuming that management would not affect that over the course of this three-year plan. And so we felt that it was important to investigate if this complexity would make an issue. So this is how we subcategorized. As I said before, simples would have had a single calving group, which was sold at weaning, and we would have had a maintenance-style effect. They were fed predominantly hay and pasture with the minimal inputs and supplements. And also feeding was at free choice. Hays and minerals and grains were set out. Cows could come in, they could eat, and then they could return to the fields. There was no confined periods. With complex systems, however, we didn't define them because we didn't have a large enough sample set, so anything that wasn't simple was then complex. And this resulted in multiple calving groups that were weaned and confined for gain on weight before selling, as well as a high production system resulting in high quality forages such as alfalfas and corns, and also increased supplements. So after our simple analysis, we found that we had a measured range of less than 1 kilogram of phosphorus per metric ton. This was on 9 different farms. We found that the difference was significant. However, our difference of only 96% told us that this was actually pulling down the overall error of 146%, and so that was at the lower end of our range. And with this data, we can now suggest that new farms being planned within this simple parameter set of operation set of parameters should be looked at as a 1.45 kilograms of phosphorus rather than the current estimation of 0.74 kilograms. However, the complex analysis didn't give us as nice of a data set. We had a range of almost 5 kilograms within this set, significant, the difference was significant, and we also found that this was what was driving up our overall percent differences. It was 223%. So we feel that to decrease this error, and if we want to isolate what is causing this within our feed management, it would be important to have more data as well as more subcategories. But right now, we have three current sort of speculations as to what's causing this effect and this variation within our complex system. The first is our overfeeding of livestock. Very few people in West Virginia use a prescribed feeding plan, and so each cow is given the same amount of hay, whether it's a high-quality hay or whether it's a third or a second-cut hay that's not nearly as high quality. And as the animal changes and the hay quality changes, that results in a higher pass-through, and there's not regulation, which would then cause variability within manure. Another is bedding and waste. Depending on the time of year, if we're using bedding as a way to keep our manure barns dry, that would change our composition as well as increasing the volume of our manure as well as feed waste. Studies show that somewhere between 5 to 43% of hay fed in these barns can be considered waste. And when you have that much of variability between waste, it becomes very difficult to estimate what that contribution would be to the mass and phosphorus content. And also, inconsistencies between management and reality. Some of our farms would have had, they think their hay may weigh 1,000 pounds, but in reality it weighs 1,200 pounds, or vice versa. And so we think we're doing one thing, and it's not malicious, but we just don't know, and so those can compound into further error. Just in a summary, on all operations, we found that measured manure phosphorus is not equal to book value on West Virginia beef cattle farms, and that farms within this simple operation should be now planned at 1.45 kilograms of phosphorus per metric ton. We also found that this suggests the need for our improved feed management, which would reduce phosphorus through more regulated feeding, manure management, which would mean a lot of cases this would be changing our rate of application or our area of application, where it's not usually an option to change your area because you only have an area, but taking the necessary steps to get this manure off of the farm somewhere where it could be needed without creating a more centralized hotspot. And also, NRCS criteria, maybe state-specific sets of manure values rather than continuing to use the Animal Waste Field Handbook or the Agricultural Waste Field Handbook and using these broad scope estimates. And so our summary of our complex operations, we suggest that there is a categorization of this as a pre-plan effect. If you're using this barn as a calf barn versus a confinement barn, this should all be considered when the plans are developed. And also, within complex operations, we require more data because of systems where we had multiple calving groups. That resulted in a lot of different variation because we had changes in the feedstuffs being given to them for the gain. Also, the duration of this confinement would play effect. Some of ours had multi-species. We had sheep as well as the influence of poultry in some of our areas. And then also, if geographic region would cause an effect because of our spreading. With that, thank you guys for being here. Any questions? Okay.
In these groups and shows a picture of your feeding houses, I'm not a cattle person at all.
So you mean, I'll back up.
You talked about, we'll go back.
Oh. Right there. Okay.
You talked about the feeding operations and waste hay going in. What percentage do you feel like is waste hay going into effect?
So with this, we kind of use waste as a general term, and so we can look at that as, if it's not eaten, then it could be waste, but it's also being used as bedding, and so is it really waste at that point? But that depends on, so with any plan, with any building, it's all going to be related to the management of the person operating it. If we give them a plan and they don't follow it, we've not really done anything. Same with the building. If they're being careful and they're monitoring how their animals are using that hay and they're not letting them pull it out and roll around in it, and sometimes we think that we're seeing like a less than a 20% loss through that hay, but then other times we're seeing closer to maybe that 40%.
Do we have any other questions for us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so taking the samples, collecting samples, how do you follow a standard protocol and how those protocols
Okay, so what are our protocols that we use when sampling, and where do the book values come from that we're comparing our samples to? Is that correct? Okay, so our sampling protocols were, we used a composite sample. They would get in, you would go to the pile, you would, as professionals, we would have to make a judgment call as to what number of samples was necessary to accurately represent that. But at least five samples, we'd mix them as best as we could, and then would send those to the West Virginia Department of Agriculture to be sampled. And then that data was returned. If we had large piles, they would be broken into multiple sets, and then that data would have been run all together so that we could kind of eliminate some of that variability. And I'm not sure of any sort of sampling protocol that they use when they develop the waste management field handbook, the agricultural waste field handbook. But like I said, we found a large difference between our actuals and what they were estimating. And so we used that handbook as a way to try and close the gap between our numbers and theirs. And it really was just impossible with those numbers being so close to that 0.74. And we were, in some places, 100% higher at a 1.4. It was just impossible with variations in numbers that could have been human error or a misinterpretation that we couldn't get there.